Let's be honest, creating content can be difficult, and creating content consistently can honestly seem impossible sometimes. Whether it's because you feel like you don't have the time to create the content that you want, maybe you can't keep up with the amount of ideas that you need, or maybe you just feel burnt out and overwhelmed. Honestly, we've all been there. These are common roadblocks for all creators of any size. And when you see other creators posting consistently, you put pressure on yourself to live up to these arbitrary expectations for your content. But let me tell you, there's no one way to be consistent when it comes to creating content. It's going to look different for everyone. What is most important is that you figure out what it looks like for you and how you can sustainably maintain your content. In Social Suite, my private creator community, I work with creators every single day who struggle with creating consistently. So I've compiled 5 of the tips that I give them to successfully find ways to stay productive, create a support system, and implement methods that can help them come up with content ideas and stick to them. I'm Kristen Bousquet, and I've been a full-time creator for over 3 years, and I've brought in over $350,000 from sponsored posts and content creation collaborations with brands so far. Social Scoop is the podcast where we teach you, the entrepreneurial creator, to turn your online influence and creativity into a profitable, self-sustaining business. Today, I'm giving you the scoop on how you can create content consistently. This, my biz BFF, is Social Scoop. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 110 of Social Scoop Podcast. My name is Kristen, and as always, I'm so excited that you're here today. First of all, can you believe that we are 110 episodes into Social Scoop? Every single week, I just am like more and more shocked than the week before. So first of all, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing Social Scoop with your friends. Honestly, it means so much, and you guys are the reason why this podcast has continued to grow week over week. So just a little thank you. Also, doggy update. Last week, a week from yesterday, Chip got neutered. He lost his parts, if you know what I mean. And he is recovering pretty well. He is not happy with the cone, so he currently has a donut. But he's still living his best life. Don't let him fool you. He's been high on pain meds all week, and he's just chilling. And he is very much still adoptable. So if you have thought about Chip, you should probably come adopt him because he's awesome. That's what I've got for you in dog news, but there's also some social media news that I want to share with you guys this week. First things first, TikTok launched their in-stream shops to all US retailers. So brands, merchants, and creators will have all the tools to sell directly through shoppable content on TikTok. As TikTok notes, its updated shop process now incorporates a product showcase on brand profiles, shop ads, which will enable users to purchase from their promotions, and secure checkout via trusted third-party payment platforms to facilitate in-app purchases. I've been using this personally to sell my social media planner. I have some thoughts, some good and bad thoughts, and I made a video on TikTok about it, but I'll have to share more for you guys here at some point. It's interesting. I'm selling a lot, but I have some issues with it personally that I don't love. But again, that's enough, a whole story for another time. Anyway, through the Creative Challenge affiliate program on TikTok, creators will be able to earn commissions from sales that they generate from promoting products in their content. So creators are able to earn commissions from any sales that they generate by promoting selected products in their uploads. So you can tag products from any of these US retailers that end up on TikTok shop and earn a commission. If you guys are on TikTok, which I'm sure most of you are at this point, you know about CapCut because CapCut has partnered with TikTok to make all of those like trending sound video like templates. I don't know. I've seen them so much, but CapCut's been a really big part of like anything that you see trending for the most part on TikTok. They did something really big this week. They rolled out a graphics editor that, no joke, you guys, looks exactly like Canva. Obviously, it's new. It's not at Canva's level yet. Honestly, I feel like with Canva now, like you can do literally anything. But one thing that it does have going for is the fact that the desktop site is completely free. A lot of it is AI powered, which is really cool. And there are free ready to use templates, again, just like Canva. So I encourage you to go check it out. I don't know that at this point anything is going to ever replace Canva because I am a Canva stan. I honestly would not have my business without Canva. So I'm loyal, but I think this is really interesting if you've ever wanted to just dabble with different options. So that's there for you. I feel like this feature is so needed. Instagram has a following feed in the Reels tab that they're adding. So like TikTok, you'll now be able to see Reels only from accounts that you follow in this like following feed tab. I think this is really great because sometimes you go onto your Reels tab and you don't know anyone who's posting things there. You don't even know half the time if it's stuff that you're interested in. This is really cool because it's people that you are specifically following. I feel like we needed this. And I'm honestly surprised that it took how many years since Reels have been out? Too long. And Instagram is also working on public collections. So these collections are basically like your little Pinterest boards, right? So you can save different posts into a collection and you can actually share these collections publicly. So this is something that they're working on. It hasn't launched yet. I'll give you guys more information as I hear it. But that's all of our news for today. So have a great rest of your week. Let's talk about creating content consistently. I hope the rest of this episode inspires you to just light a fire under your ass to start creating content more consistently. I know it's hard, but I think I've got some good tips that are actually going to help you and you can implement them hopefully for some success. So let me know if you guys have any questions. Let me know what you think of this episode and I will see you next week. Bye. Creating content consistently. I feel like so many of us go through these periods of time where we're like going so hard and creating content. We're feeling so inspired. Maybe you just get back from a vacation and you're like ready to get back to work. And then you go really hard. And then eventually you get to a point where you're like, okay, I've posted about everything. I don't know what else to say. I'm out of ideas. I just like am at a loss. I'm discouraged. I'm feeling frustrated. It's something that as creatives, we all go through. So if you're feeling it, first of all, don't feel discouraged. I'm going to give you 5 different things that I share with my students when they come to me in this situation. And again, it happens very often. So the first thing that I can share with you that I think as a very type A person is one of the most important things is to find a system and a productivity method that works for you. Because if you're trying to run a business in a way that's really efficient and feels good for you and doesn't get you constantly stressed out, you really do need to have a good system in place. But a lot of us who are content creators now, maybe never went to business school. Maybe we're not type A people. Maybe we are not used to being on our own in our own business and are used to having a boss who's going to tell us exactly what we need to do. And that's very comfortable. And then when you come over to being a content creator where you're running everything yourself, okay, like this is your business, you're in charge of what happens or does not happen, it's a lot of pressure, okay? So one thing that I love to do is actually share this quiz. It's a really cool quiz, and it is from a company called Todoist. So Todoist is actually like a to-do list app, but they have this great productivity quiz on their website that I honestly encourage every single one of my Social Suite members to take. So it will drive you through kind of this little quiz. It will ask you questions about how you work or what you struggle with. And then it's going to pop out a productivity method that you should try based on your answers. And so there are actually maybe like 10 different productivity methods that you can get as your answer. But there are 3 that are super popular that I see a lot of people get as their answer. And so I want to kind of give you the rundown of the 3 of them because I want you to hear the kind of like symptoms of people who use this productivity method and it works well for them. Because if you hear it and you're like, ooh, that sounds like me, I want you to know that there is something that exists out there that is going to help you. So I'm going to read this right from the Todoist website. The first one is called time blocking. You guys have probably heard of time blocking before, but time blocking essentially is a simple yet effective way to take back control of your workday. So if you're a good fit for time blocking, some of these things may ring true to you. Ready? Maybe you juggle different projects or responsibilities. Maybe you spend too much time in reactive mode, aka responding to emails or messages. Maybe you find that your day is chopped up by a bunch of meetings. Maybe you struggle with constant interruptions throughout the day. Or lastly, you may struggle to find the time and mental space for big picture thinking. And so what time blocking actually is instead of you popping around to different things throughout the day. Like maybe you answer emails for 15 minutes and then you've got a meeting. And then after your meeting, you plan some content ideas, but then oop, you have another meeting you have to run to. And I mean, you're popping around to all of these different tasks or like categories of tasks throughout the day. Time blocking would be where you say, okay, from 10 to 12, I'm going to schedule all my meetings. From 12 to 3, I'm going to be answering my emails and planning my content. From 3 to 4, I'm going to be recording my podcast episode. And from 4 to 5, I'm going to, you know, get my Instagram post ready. But you block off certain periods of time for certain tasks so that you can really like dive deep into those tasks and actually focus on them versus like bopping around and you don't ever have time to actually get deep into them. So that's time blocking. That's one of the popular methods. My favorite one, and this is the one that works the best for me, is called Eat the Frog. So this is another different type of productivity method. Eat the Frog is the weirdest concept. It's so funny. Every time I say to someone, because I love this method and I tell people about it all the time, every time I say this to someone, they're like, what are you talking about? Why are we talking about frogs? What? And so Eat the Frog is perfect for people who struggle with procrastination, who get a lot done, but don't feel like you're making progress on the important stuff. Maybe they have a hard time sticking to a productivity system. Maybe they have trouble deciding what to work on at any given time, or maybe they feel overwhelmed by their to-do list. And that last one could not ring more true for me personally. So what eating the frog is, in the beginning of the day, you're going to start your day or even end your day the day before with thinking about, okay, today, what is the most like daunting, annoying, tedious, like what do I not want to get done, but I need to get done? What is that task? And I take it and put it right at the beginning of the day. For example, today I'm sitting down and recording 4 podcast episodes. And that is very daunting to me because I'm just like, oh my God, it's so much work. It's going to take so long. Like it's, you know, it's going to be this big process and it's very overwhelming. So I took it and put it right at the beginning of the day. I haven't even checked my emails yet, nothing. And that's something that I'm going to do after this because I'm going to feel this weight lift off my shoulders because I got the hard stuff done first. So that's eating the frog. I absolutely love that method. And then the third one that I wanted to tell you about is called the Pomodoro technique. So this method is really great for you if you find little distractions often derail your entire day, which actually that one also rings true for me. Maybe you consistently work past the point of optimal productivity. Maybe you have lots of open-ended work that could take unlimited amounts of time. Like you could just do it forever because there's so much that needs to be done. Maybe you're overly optimistic when it comes to how much you can get done in a day. Guilty. If these ring true to you, the Pomodoro technique would be really, really great for you to try out. And so this is actually a technique that we use in Social Suite in our co-working meeting. So every other week we have a co-working meeting where we all get on a Zoom call, all of our Social Suite members who are available and want to come on, get on a Zoom call, and we spend 25 minutes on. So we're going in on our work. Like we are really all focused. We come back for about 10 minutes, hang out, take a breath, you know, stretch a little bit. And then another 25 minutes, we go in on our work again. And so that's actually us using the Pomodoro technique. So you'll want to pick a task and set a certain amount of time for you to go into that task. And you can literally set a timer on your phone. Then you come out of the task once the timer is up, and then basically you can take a little bit of a break, and then you can also kind of like go back into it if you would like. And so typically what they suggest is that after every 4 Pomodoros, so like those big chunks of time, you back up for like a long period of time. So instead of taking like a 5-minute break, you might take like a 30-minute break. So maybe you could break it up with lunch. So that's the Pomodoro technique. So there are 4 really great techniques here that are awesome to try. And the whole idea here is that you're going to find a productivity method that makes it easier for you to consistently create content, because it's really difficult to do if you're just every day waking up and being like, what am I doing? How am I doing it? I don't know what's going on. That's overwhelming. So we're not going to do that. The other thing that I want to have you do, because we talked in a previous episode about how doing less and creating content that's more sustainable for you to create is one of the best things that you can do, because it allows you to create content more consistently because it's easier for you. It's less chaotic. It's less of a production. And so a really great example of this is actually one of my students, Amira. She is a fashion creator, and she was doing these try-on videos every single multiple times a week. And she had come to me and said, "Kristen, I cannot record another try-on video because it's just so much work. I have to pick out all the outfits. I have to clean up my room after. I have to actually make the video. Like, it's a huge, long process, and it's not sustainable with the amount of time that I have realistically." And I said, "That's great. We're going to find a solution." And so what we did was we brainstormed what is a way that Amira could get the point across, like the whole, here's how you style things, or, you know, here are cool outfits that you can put together, whatever. But how can we do it in a way that's not her physically having to try on all the clothes? And so she started creating like green screen videos where she would have an outfit up, or she would like show something on Shein and talk about how crazy it was. And she was still getting the point across to her audience about, like, you know, she's an authority in fashion and she knows all of this great styling advice. But it was so easy for her to just turn on the green screen and be like, "Behind me, this is what's going on. Here's the point." And it took no time. She didn't have to clean up all of the clothes after. And so there are ways that you can make your content more sustainable. You sometimes just have to get creative with it. B-roll for me is one of the easiest ways to do this. And so one thing that I would highly suggest doing, and I do this every single day, is I will set an alarm on my phone for every hour or every 2 hours to say, take a video clip. And so that alarm goes off and I set my tripod up with whatever I'm doing. I'm like, cool, let's take a B-roll clip. And I have such a giant folder of these B-roll clips on my phone now. So it's so easy for me to just like pull one of those clips together when I'm like, you know, looking like a little troll in my bed, haven't even gotten out of bed kind of thing, but I can still create a great video and no one is going to know that I like look like a troll, right? Because I have this B-roll video that I can pull from. So I have them in my phone. You could throw them in a Dropbox folder, organize them. I know you're afraid to share B-roll content that's super old or that maybe you've already shared in one other video before, but I can promise you, you are thinking about it way harder than anyone else is thinking about it. People are not going to remember every single B-roll clip you've ever used. Okay? I swear they won't. I swear they won't. The third thing that you can do to make content sustainable for you is to find a community that gets it and gets the support that you need. Because at the end of the day, it is incredibly difficult for you to run a business without support. And I know for me, like I have my husband, Andrew, who is an incredible support system. But honestly, sometimes I feel like he's really the only one that like is in my close supportive system. And like everything I do, he's always there for me and everything. But he's not a content creator. So like he doesn't get exactly the struggles. And so my favorite thing about my business is Social Suite. Our membership is a private creator community where we essentially just have this great safe space for us to ask any questions we need, get the support we need, vent, like talk about our frustrations, ask people for advice, get my help. Like it is an incredible space for you to have people to lean on, have a shoulder to lean on from people who get it. You know, like we in this group are all creators. We get it. We know the struggles. We know the things that are so frustrating. And so having that place to, you know, come onto our Zoom calls and be like, "Guys, this sucked this week. Like, this is what happened." That helps you keep all of the heavy stuff, like constantly getting off of you, like stopping to weigh on you, because so many frustrations as creators, we let them like build and build and build until we're burnt out and we're miserable and we're overwhelmed. If you have a safe space, almost like a creator therapy, to get all of that stuff off your chest, it allows you to get back into what's important, which is having fun, being creative, like making new friends. And you can't do that if you're so overwhelmed by the hard stuff. So I would highly suggest, whether it's Social Suite or another great membership or another great program, I'm in a membership called Do Less Club with my friend Harley Jordan. I love having that safe space. It's so important for me. The next thing that I would definitely suggest to do is have a content bank. Listen, you guys do not need to reinvent the wheel every single time you're creating a new piece of content. Every single time I get a question from someone or an idea pops into my head, I add it into this giant like master list that I have of content ideas, and I will refer back to that so often. Anytime that I don't have an idea that pops into my head of like, oh, I could post about this today, I'll go to that master list and pull something from it. And so that's a really great place for me to refer to for that purpose. And so I never feel like I run out of content ideas. So having a content idea bank, I think, is just as important as having that bank of B-roll footage. And the fifth thing that you can do to create content more sustainably is to think about the struggles that your audience has. At the end of the day, you can love fashion, you can love beauty, you can love food, whatever it is, but why are you sharing it with your audience, right? The purpose is very often you want to inspire people, you want to connect with people, you want to educate people, you want to get people entertained, whatever it might be, whatever the goal is. But you can't do that unless you're thinking about what your audience actually wants and needs. So one of the things that I do very often is I will ask myself, you know, what does my audience really need from me right now? And that might be something that, again, I get questions about in my DMs a lot. For example, whenever, for me personally, whenever there is something new, some new update that comes out, like, for example, when Meta Verified came out, I got so many questions about that. So I said, what does my audience really need from me right now? Maybe they need to know everything about Meta Verified because I'm getting so many questions about it, right? And so that is something that I created a video for. So you can think about, you know, what questions your audience has. One other really great thing is to think about the struggles that your audience has. What are they struggling with most? If they are, you know, travel creators or, you know, people aspiring to be travel creators, what are the biggest struggles that travel creators have? You know, maybe it's like work-life balance, because when you go on a trip, you're like, am I supposed to be having fun? Am I supposed to be working? Maybe it is how to pack all of their stuff for long trips in a way that's efficient. You know, there's so many struggles that your audience specifically probably has. And those are the things that you can think about to create content. And unfortunately, for most of us, struggles are something that they're just like an endless list of. So it's almost this constant idea bank for you. So what is my audience struggling with? Oh, yep, that's probably a struggle of theirs. Perfect. Let me create a piece of content about it. You can also use this information to create digital products, digital services, in-person services, courses, ebooks, whatever it might be. You can use all of this information that you learn about your audience with their struggles and with their needs and turn it into paid content as well. At the end of the day, as creators who are building businesses, we need to have multiple streams of income, and having a digital product or a service or anything along those lines is a really great way to sustain some income. So don't be afraid to kind of think about the struggles, create something really great that's going to help your audience with those struggles, and then create something that is behind a paywall. If you're a creator who finds yourself struggling to create content consistently, I really hope that these five different tips that I share with my Social Suite members very often helped you out today. I hope to see you guys in Social Suite as members so that I can help you and we can have a little bit more of a connection there. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I will see you next week. Bye.